third day off, I was riddled with expectations. Ah, the beach, a place of solace, my sanctum in a world gone mad, my place of safety, of rest, my place of what the hell is everything for anyway? I mean, why do we exist? What's it all about? What if nothing is real? Oh, I sighed. I coughed. I burped. Pardon. And the other thing. I drew a line in the sand each time the waves washed away the land beneath my feet. Whew! I was higher than I had ever been, and following the advice of a passing police officer, I immediately handcuffed myself before tasering my prone form so that he wouldn't have to shoot me in the back out of some feeling of legal obligation. Having arrested my development, if not my body and soul, on a charge of gross insurrection, not seen since the entrance of moneylenders into the temple of false economies, I was shunted through the cogs of the system the way a coin falls through the slot of a vending machine. Slowly but surely, the wasted moments of a wasted life came back to haunt me. Afraid of my own shadow, I stared across the government benches and scoured the speaker's seat. I whispered, "I spy strangers," before being asked to cough up my savings for the sake of the world economy. But it's my day off," I cried, the words echoing around me like a flock of cormorants skimming the surf. "The metaphorical force is strong in this one," I thought to myself, brandishing a lightsaber of truth and all the conviction of a petty criminal.
"I think someone's coming. Run!"
I was used to taking time to myself on days I had off, using it to foment dissent wherever practical and content wherever probable. "What's wrong with this computer?" This was my dilemma. How to use time more efficiently than anything I had ever come into contact with before. I paused pregnantly while contemplating my navel. This could be the lead I've been searching for, I thought, pulling the remains of a 50-year-old umbilical cord from the rolls of fatty tissue that surrounded the last vestigial proof of my own origins. But no, I was mistaken. It was just some week-old fluff, and the worn-out thread of an idea. An idea so simple, I wondered why it had not occurred to me before. This could be the beginning of a new beginning, not just the beginning of my beginning, in the belly button sense. I jumped from my seat on the ski lift and lowered myself to the ground, sliding down the mogul-infested slope. I returned to the chateau where just moments ago I had been told, when found perusing a magazine about food, that I was taking the piste. I had flipped the food supplement open to the centerfold recipe. I had been reading about profiteroles and chocolate syrup. There it was. The illustration of a dessert I had been looking for since mounting that said moguled mountain only a short while ago. I immediately ate the page with the picture and felt a pang of remorse. "Well, at least it's not a pang of hunger," I said to myself a split second later. But the page was gone. Already a distant, receding memory stored amongst the network of neurons that made me, me,
Me, me, me. That's all you ever think about, I heard my alter ego cry.
You! Ha! You're not but an avatar to me, I spat back. Worth little more than a single life on Grand Theft Auto, or Call of Duty, or someone who pretends to be single on all those dating sites.
Ha! I pondered. Who shall I be today? Or do I mean whom?
Then, finding myself thinking about all my other selves staring back at me in the mirror that reflected a thousand other mirrors, I said,
"You're looking at me?"
Thinking how rude to be stared at so blankly.
Then I reflected that this wasn't just about me. There is a world out there, a world of injustice, a world of false economies, a world that questions why must I waste so much precious time on acting out the vain desires of self, when the common good, the common wheel, if you will, keeps on turning, rolling, rolling, rolling down the highway.
Without further ado, I said goodbye, and turned on the spot like a swivel chair, gathering up my notes in strict rotation. Composing myself with a treble clef, I lost no 4/4 time in ringing a stranger at random whom I'd heard humming a tune on the interweb. I said, "We must meet." And they hung up. I explained everything in the ensuing silence, listening to the dull buzz of a dial tone. I hid my face in a pillow on the edge of a chair and wept a thousand years of rain.
Was there any point in carrying on?
What was life to bring me but misery, doom, and despair? Then the doorbell rang.
Hallelujah! The pizza has arrived!
I wolfed it down like I could eat a horse, box and all. Cardboard box, not the horse box. Then, like the good Samaritan I was, I returned to the shore and threw the pizza's unwanted anchovies back into the sea. My nose grew longer as the days grew shorter. I was scared of my own shadow. This time, not an opposition bench's political one, criticizing my every ministerial move, contradicting every campaign promise I ever made. No, this time it was the darkness in me, dragging on my feet, tugging me like an undertow back from the light into the grey, dank root of all evil. I thrust out my chin, and onto it flew the most beautiful butterfly I had ever seen. A gorgeous pattern of mosaic wings, like a pair of silken kilts, tartan abstracts that drew me closer still, till my eyelashes fairly wisped against the creature's delicate display, and it fluttered up and off before I had a chance to take a selfie. On my third day off, the grey of my hair got greyer, thinner, longer with age, and that moment of beauty did stay with me, if only for a second longer, as I turned my butterfly-less chin and all, only to find an articulated lorry roaring down the hill at me, entirely out of control. The driver held his head and shook it like a dervish. "No, hold the weir, man," I shouted. "Not your blasted head." I stepped to one side, only to notice there beside me an abandoned pushchair with something inside. Thinking not of myself for a second, only that I could possibly sell the pushchair on eBay, or perhaps get a reward for returning it to its owner, I pushed the chair with all my might. I pushed and shoved, and still the lorry loomed closer. But the chair and its contents would not budge. "The brakes, you fool," I said to self. "You must release the pushchair brake." "Damn you, me. Stop telling us what to do. How can you argue at a time like this? How can you?
What? Oh, I'll do it myself. Oh, no, you won't. Yes, I will. No, you won't.
And then everything exploded in a flash of light. The lorry so close, I could feel the warmth of its engine on my face. The pushchair so stuck, it seemed as rooted to its spot as a 100-year-old tree. My thoughts spinning between this, me, and that. And there, in front of my very eyes, on a forearm held up instinctively to protect myself from this impending disaster, was my wristwatch. It said 2:30. Never, I thought.
What do you mean, never? I thought.
Stop arguing, I said. The watch itself had stopped.
Why, it could never be 2:30, even if the clocks had gone back.
No, my time had not come. My time had simply stopped, frozen between certain death and an opportunity to make a bit of cash out of an abandoned, brake-seized pushchair.
I released the brake, and the chair began to roll downhill. I realized, too quickly, that I could never catch it. I watched it disappear in a trick of perspective that made it seem to travel faster than anything I had ever known. Except, perhaps, my own hand-to-mouth existence when faced with having to use nothing but chopsticks. The pushchair and whatever mystery lay within it was gone from my life. Another metaphor, heavy with meaning, dissolving into the all-too-real reality of the world around me. This was not a good day to die, after all. But it was a good day to have off, after all. I mean, if I were to pass away now, on my day off, why, who would notice if I had? No one expected me. I was not meant to be somewhere or anywhere after all. No. Better that I meet my fate at work or in a crowd, where it would surely be noticed and be all the more memorable for it, if only for the way in which my demise had slightly inconvenienced everyone around me.
Oh, no. We'll be stuck here for hours if we wait for the cops to show up.
Should we just wander off? You know, pretend we hadn't noticed anything?
Life has a strange way of doling out the portions. Then there was a honking in the distance. It was as if a great flock of geese were greeting me from the sky. But no, it was the tailback of cars and vans stuck on the hill behind the articulated lorry, who were greeting me like a flash mob of massed road rage. I bowed, as if all the world's a stage, and this act finally mine, and mine alone.
'Twere better 'twere done well if 'twere done at all. And to that was to that. The world in a nutshell drew a veil over my life, like a badly drawn boy playing guitar and wearing a tea cozy for a hat. Never had so much been given by so few for so many, said the taxman, trying to make everything sound fair in love and war and queuing. But I, no, we, know that it isn't. Nothing is fair. Why should I, for example, have to put up with more days on than I ever have off? I cried, and I...
Oh, dear me, the time!
Better get back to work.
My name is Mac Dunlop, and... Ciao,
Bella!